Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, December 26, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
First of all, Deb and I would like to thank all of you for your graciousness and generosity to us this Christmas. You're a very unique and wonderful congregation, and we thank you all for that. Also, there's an announcement. There will be a teachers' meeting tonight after class. Teachers' meeting tonight after class. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul and making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. For to worship the living and true God, you must be in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, there's no reason for you even to come here. But to be in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, so that you can grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the indescribable gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, those of you, and most of you, are caught up with the prayer list. And one of the men that is on the prayer list is James Myers. That's James Myers of Ministry Sharing the Word of God with the People of Ukraine. Jim broke his femur a while back and has been laid up and recovering from that. And we have an update from him. I am home after almost a month in the hospital and a skilled nursing facility. Broken bones are never fun. But I think that it's worse in your 80s. He's in his 80s. You break your femur. I don't care when you do it. That's bad. But when you're in your 80s, a lot of times you're on your way face to face with the Lord. Jim and his wife Phyllis, they have tremendous physical constitutions because they were in Ukraine during the assault by the Russians and they had to evacuate. They had to evacuate and walk over 30 miles in their 80s. Walk over 30 miles to get out of the country. That was amazing. Right now, the way my knees are, I'd have just said, turn around, tell the Russian, shoot me, you know. But they made it out. I had therapy for a few weeks before being released, and I will go to outpatient therapy 3 times a week in the next month. I am getting stronger and more limber every day. I saw the x-rays of the fracture and the pin and the screws that are now a permanent fixture in my body until I get my new one at the rapture. Scars that now exist from mid-thigh to my hip will also be gone at the rapture. In the meantime, I am grateful for what the doctors are able to do to repair broken bodies. I am also thankful for the time I spent in the nursing facility. I had opportunity to teach some Bible classes and have been given an open invitation to go back to teach a Bible class any time that it is convenient for me. I was also blessed with opportunities to present the gospel to a couple of my therapists and other workers. I plan to go back to do some follow-up when I am able to drive and walk independently of a walker. We receive cards, letters, and emails from around the world with words of encouragement and assurances of intercessory prayer for our recovery. This is truly humbling to know that so many people are supporting us in this way. We are so grateful for each of you and give thanks to our loving Father in heaven for you. This has been such a wonderful year in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was able to teach hundreds of Bible studies and half a dozen different countries, and we were able to visit a few churches in the U.S. as well. On advice of my surgeon, I canceled our trip to Romania, Ukraine, and Poland that was scheduled for January. But we expect to be able to go to Brazil, Zambia, South Africa, and the Philippines, which we have scheduled for 2025. Perhaps we can get to Ukraine in the fall. I hope so. May this coming year be one in which you are blessed as you walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, Jim and Phyllis. All right. We, of course, you are indoctrinated and taught over and over through the Word of God that every day God wants you to have Christmas every single day. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as you attain spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, well, you have personal love for God the Father. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. And when that occurs, why, you know who and what Jesus Christ is. You know the essence of God, the plan of God, the will of God, and you know that Jesus Christ is the miracle, the greatest miracle this world will ever know. He is the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. That's the greatest miracle this world will ever know. His hypostatic union. And you have learned that, you know that, and because of that, many of you have Christmas every single day. Christmas is about God's indescribable gift of His Son. That's 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. At Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love to the whole world. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. For God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world. How can God love the world? Because God is infinite virtue love. And He loves the world in spiritual death and total depravity through impersonal love for all. That's the love. God's impersonal love for the whole world. He designed Operation Grace, the cross, requiring the Son, the eternal Son, to leave heaven and glory. But the Son, from His free will, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." The Father planned Operation Grace, and the Son willingly said, "Yes, sir, I will execute it." And so the Son of God, eternal Son of God, freely, willingly, on that very first Christmas, left heaven, left glory, and through the incarnation and virgin birth, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, the Lord Jesus Christ, incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ, He took on true humanity. Now, He's the God-man. And He became the God-man to provide salvation on a cross so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem. On that very first Christmas. That first Christmas was the greatest miracle that this world will ever know. There is no miracle as great as the miracle of that first Christmas. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory, and in genuine humility, he took on true humanity so that he could go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. Without his coming, all mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Without that first Christmas, the world has no hope. But because of that first Christmas, and because of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, and because of his salvation work on the cross, the whole world has a hope. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope that this world has. The very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, was prophesied 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It was prophesied by both Micah and Isaiah, who were contemporaries. Micah 5:2, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6 prophesied this greatest of all miracles. And then Isaiah 9:6 is also one of the greatest prophetic passages describing this greatest of all miracles, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the miracle Messiah in hypostatic union. Isaiah 9:6, because a child has been born for us, and a son has been given for us. In that phrase, there's a couple of things. One, the first phrase, a child has been born for us, emphasizes the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. It emphasizes the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah. It emphasizes the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our first phrase. A child has been born for us. Point two. It also emphasizes the fact that the Messiah will be a son of David. The Messiah will be a son of David. Turn over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, starting at verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, and there the tetragrammaton, Jehovah, is used for God the Father. The days are coming, declares the Lord, God the Father, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. Now, in the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Tzidkenu. Jehovah Tzidkenu. Tzidkenu comes from tzedek, righteousness. And so we have here His name will be called the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu. Turn over to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. Starting at verse 15. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. So this first phrase, because a child has been born for us, emphasizes the fact that the Messiah will be a son of David. Three, the second phrase, a son has been given for us, emphasizes the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. A son has been given for us, emphasizes the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. In other words, it emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. Four, it emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Five, and therefore the child to be born is the eternal Son of God. That child to be born is the eternal Son of God. Six, therefore, together these phrases present the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. The hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. Seven, Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And that is the greatest miracle this world will ever, ever know. Jesus Christ is the miracle Messiah, as a result of his hypostatic union. The greatest gift, the indescribable gift, the greatest miracle the world will ever know. Because a child has been born for us, and a son has been given for us. And the government will be on his shoulders. Now, and that's next phrase, the government will be on his shoulders. The first phrase looks at the first advent of Jesus Christ, because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. That's looking at the first advent of Christ. The second phrase, and government will be on his shoulders, that's puts the spotlight on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second advent of Jesus Christ. So So at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth. And he will rule the entire world. Might as well put that down. I'll put that point one. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth, and he will rule the entire world. Two, not only will Jesus Christ be the ruler of the world, but the entire responsibility of justice and righteousness in the administration of government over the world rests on his shoulders. Not only will Jesus Christ be the ruler of the world, but the entire responsibility of justice and righteousness in the administration of government over the whole world rests on his shoulders. So three, the child at that first advent, the child that was born to us, is to be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So Isaiah 9:6 says, because a child has been born for us, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, a son has been given for us, the procession of the eternal Son of God, the deity of Jesus Christ. This is the first advent of the miracle Messiah on that very first Christmas. And the government will be on his shoulders. This is the second advent of Jesus Christ. Now Isaiah 9:6 in this great prophecy says that he will be called, and there's four names given to the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. He will be called. And I know a lot of you have in your Bibles, wonderful counselor. And, well, he is a wonderful counselor, but boy, is that weak. That is really weak. First of all, wonderful is an adjective. We don't have any adjectives here. All we have are nouns. No adjectives, nouns. So it isn't wonderful. It's wonder or miracle, not wonderful. So he will be called Wonder Counselor or Miracle Counselor. He will be called Mighty, Omnipotent God. You see, there's two, El Gavor, two words there. El means by itself, Omnipotent God. That's the word for Omnipotent God. Then you add Gavor, Mighty, Omnipotent God. That's the best translation for that. So he will be called Wonder Counselor, Miracle Counselor, Mighty Omnipotent God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Now, in the scriptures, what God is saying here, God the Holy Spirit is putting here, is that the child is worthy to bear these names, and that they are accurate descriptions and designations of his being, his character, and his essence. In the Bible, when it says the name, name indicates character and essence and nature of a person. And therefore, when it is stated that he shall be called, we are to understand that the following names are descriptions of the celebrityship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are four characteristics here that describe the celebrityship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first characteristic is that of a wonder counselor or a miracle counselor. We, in the Hebrew, what we have here is Pele Yoetz. So that's P-E-L-E, Pele, and then Y-O-I-N-E-T-S, Pele Yoetz. Pele. This is not an adjective. Adjective, you would translate it wonderful. And it's not an adjective, however. It's a noun. And as a noun, Pele means wonder, extraordinary, miracle. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, in hypostatic union, is the greatest miracle this world will ever know. Pele comes from the verb pala. P-A-L-A, Aleph, Pala. And Pala means to be surpassing, to be extraordinary, to be miraculous. So, one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is a wonder. He is a miracle. Undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. The hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle. So the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is a miracle. In his very essence, in hypostatic union, he's a miracle. In his hypostatic union, he's a wonder. Undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. So the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle. Two, the Messiah surpasses human thought and power. He is the God-man, the unique person of the universe. He is the God-man, the unique person of the universe. There will never be anyone like Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. So the Messiah surpasses human thought and power. He is the God-man. He is the unique person of the universe. And therefore, he is a miracle, a wonder, a Pele. Pele designates the Lord Jesus Christ not merely as someone who is extraordinary, but as one who in his very person and essence is a miracle, is a wonder. Three, not only is the incarnate Word, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, a wonder, but the written Word, the mind of Christ, is a miracle and a wonder. Psalm 119, verse 129 says, your testimonies, Bible doctrine, are wonders, Pele, are wonders, and therefore my soul obeys them. 4. Therefore, there is a very close relationship between the written word and the living word, Jesus Christ. Very close relationship between the written word and the living word, Jesus Christ. Both are infinite, eternal wonders. Infinite, eternal miracles. 5. The so-called wonders of this world and this universe will pass away. But the miracles and wonders of the living and true God, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. The so-called wonders of this world and this universe, they will all pass away. But the miracles and wonders of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God will never pass away. In Isaiah 9:6, the messianic title, this first messianic title, does not stop with the word Pele, wonder or miracle, but it's completed by the calactive participle of a verb, ya'atz. Y-A-I-N-A-T-S, ya'atz. And ya'atz is a verb that means to advise or to counsel. It never means one who asks, but always refers to one who gives advice. So the first characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, he is a wonder counselor. A miracle counselor. He is a Pele Yoetz. So one. Jesus Christ is the unique person of the universe. He is the God-man. He is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. Jesus Christ is the unique person of the universe. He is the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. He is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. 2, the Lord Jesus Christ is absolute truth. He is the sum total of wisdom and knowledge. And therefore, he is the perfect ruler, the perfect advisor, the perfect counselor. Jesus Christ himself in John 14:6 said, I am the way and the aletheia. Aletheia is the Greek word. You know this, absolute truth. Jesus Christ says, I am absolute truth. I am the way and the absolute truth and the life. And no one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. 3. To sit upon the throne of David. To sit upon the throne of David as the messianic King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To rule the entire world in the millennial kingdom requires wisdom and knowledge that no mere man possesses. To sit upon the throne of David as the messianic King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to rule The entire world in the millennium requires wisdom and knowledge that no mere man possesses. Four, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. And therefore, he will perfectly rule all the nations of the world in the millennial kingdom. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. And therefore, he will perfectly rule all the nations of the world in the millennial kingdom. He is aletheia, absolute truth. He is the possessor and expounder of the truth. He is the possessor of all wisdom and knowledge. Five, Jesus Christ in his person and in his thinking, Bible doctrine. The Word of God is the mind of Christ, his thinking. Jesus Christ in his person and in his thinking, Bible doctrine, is the perfect solution and answer to every question, problem, adversity, and circumstance that you will ever face in time as a believer. Jesus Christ in his person and in his thinking is the perfect solution and answer to every question, every problem, every adversity, every circumstance that you will ever face in time as a believer. Six, therefore, the only counselor that the believer needs is the wonder counselor, the miracle counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only counselor that the believer needs is the wonder counselor, the miracle counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven, the wonder counselor, the miracle counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels and advises the believer through the mind of Christ, the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 2:16. The Word of God is the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ. Now, if the Word of God is taught consistently and faithfully by the faithful pastor-teacher, and if believers are consistent and faithful in assembling to receive the teaching of the Word of God, assembling with positive volition and humility, then there would be no need for counseling by the pastor. This is exactly the absolute truth of the Word of God. When I first came here, I counseled people. They wanted to get together and go back. And I gave great advice, by the way. Great advice. That doesn't mean they listened to it. They just go ahead and do their own thing. Forget about whatever I had by way of advice or counsel. And after a while, I began to see, well, I'm wasting my time here. What I need to do is teach you consistently and faithfully. Study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. And if you assemble with positive volition and humility, consistently and faithfully, and learn and believe and grow up and get that mind of Christ in your heart. Once that mind of Christ is in your heart, there's your greatest counselor you will ever have. The wonder counselor, the miracle counselor, is now in your heart. His thinking is in your heart. That's the greatest counselor you can ever have. He will solve every problem, and you'll get it from his thinking, which is in your heart. There's the great counselor. So, after years and years and years of being here, I don't counsel anymore. I gave a lot of great advice, but a lot of times that just went in one ear and out the other, and they went ahead and did what they wanted to do anyway. So I just do my job. I counsel from up here. I teach you the Word and teach you the Word and teach you the Word. And if you have the positive volition and humility, you can learn it and believe it and learn it and believe it and learn it and believe it. And when you get a maximum number of the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ in your heart, then Christ, the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor, he will counsel you in everything in your life. So 8. The pastor teaches the Word of God, the mind of Christ, to a group of believers. The pastor teaches the Word of God, the mind of Christ, to a group of believers. And then the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels the believer through his thinking, metabolized doctrine in the believer's heart. Pastor teaches the Word of God, the mind of Christ, to a group of believers, and then the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels the believer through his thinking, metabolized doctrine in the believer's heart. That's the first characteristic of the celebrityship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second characteristic of the celebrityship of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have in your Bibles, Mighty God. That is, again, not the best translation of what we have. We have El Givor. El Givor. That's Aleph, E, L, G, I, B, B, long O, R. El Givor. Now the word El doesn't mean God. It means omnipotent God. El by itself means omnipotent God. And therefore, El dogmatically declares the deity of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Messiah is the omnipotent God. The omnipotent God, the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ is the omnipotent God. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. And when you know that, and you know, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you know that He can solve any problem that you have. Any problem. If you have the humility to let Him solve the problem in your life. But if you are too arrogant, then you'll just go your own way. When you add to ale the adjective givor, it becomes a more powerful declaration of the deity of Christ. Givor means strong and mighty. And the best translation of ale givor is the mighty, omnipotent God. So one, Jesus Christ is the mighty, omnipotent God. Jesus Christ is the mighty, omnipotent God. And when you combine the second characteristic of the celebrityship of Christ, the mighty, omnipotent God, with the third characteristic of the celebrityship of Christ, everlasting Father, eternal Father, then the Lord Jesus Christ has always, always existed as the mighty, omnipotent God. There never was a time when He did not exist as the mighty, omnipotent God. So too, as a member of the Trinity, He is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. As a member of the Trinity, He is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. Three, in eternity past, the Son of God had the same essence as the Father and the Spirit. And the second characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ also teaches another very important aspect of Jesus Christ. He is the greatest soldier of all time. Jesus Christ is the greatest soldier of all time. You see, that word, givor, is a military word. It's frequently used in a military context in the Hebrew Scriptures. And when it's used of a man, it is frequently combined with the noun kayil. So you have givor kayil. C-H-A-Y-I-L, Kayil. And Kayil means strength or valor. And when you combine Givor with Kayil, then it has a very special meaning. It means mighty men of valor, military heroes. Mighty men of valor and military heroes. And we see this in the Scriptures. Turn over to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Now, the first time it's used of David. David is Givor Kayil. Saul, Saul is he wound up dying the sin unto death. But Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Verse 18, "Then one of the young men answered and said, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse,'" this is David, "'the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician.'" And David was one of the best musicians in the whole world. "A mighty man of valor, Gibor Kayil, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man." Boy, that doesn't happen to get all those things together there. "And a handsome man. And the Lord is with him." So David is described as a Gibor Kayil, mighty man of valor. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 12. "And they helped David against the band of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the army." Gibor Kayil. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 28. Verse 1. "Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the commanders of the divisions that served the king, and the commanders of thousands, and the commanders of hundreds, and the overseers of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, with the officials and the mighty men, even all the valiant men." Gibor Kayil. So, in our passage, Isaiah 9:6, El Gibor describes the second characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. He is the mighty, omnipotent God. So, one, a part of the celebrityship of the Messiah is that he is the greatest soldier of all time. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest soldier of all time. For those of you serving in the military or have served in the military, you're following in the footsteps of the greatest soldier of all time. What an honor. What an honorable profession. The military is one of the most honorable of all professions. And Jesus Christ is your role model. He's the greatest soldier of all time. So part of the celebrityship of the Messiah is that he is the greatest soldier of all time. Turn over to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, starting at verse 8. "Who is this King of glory? The Lord," that's Jehovah, "strong and mighty," Gibor. "The Lord, mighty," Gibor, "mighty in battle," in war. We have Jehovah, Gibor, Milcomah, and Milcomah is the Hebrew word for war and battle. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord mighty Gibor in battle, in war. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, let them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? He is Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. He is the King of glory. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the armies, is the King of glory. So, one, a part of the celebrityship of the Messiah is that He is the greatest soldier of all time. Psalm 24, 8 to 10. A part of the celebrityship of the Messiah is that He is the greatest soldier of all times. Psalm 24, 8 to 10. In verse 8, we see that the Messiah is the King of glory. In verse 8, we see that the Messiah is Jehovah. In verse 8, we see Gavor describes the Messiah twice, as the Lord strong and mighty, and as the Lord mighty in battle and war. 2, the Lord Jesus Christ holds the record for killing the enemy in war. 185,000 Assyrians in Isaiah 37, 36. But He's going to break that record. Point 3, the Lord Jesus Christ will break that record at the second advent, when every unbeliever on the face of the earth will be destroyed. Revelation 19, 11 to 21. Let's turn to that and we'll end with that tonight. The greatest soldier of all time. He's coming back. He's coming back at the second advent, and He's coming back as the greatest soldier of all time. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. With justice, He judges and makes war. He's the greatest soldier of all time. He is El Gavor. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on His head are many crowns. He has a name written on Him that no one knows but He Himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following Him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth comes a sharp sword, with which to strike down the nations. And He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On His robe and on His thigh, He has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. And then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the beast, the Antichrist, was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast, and worshiped his image. And the two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, the greatest soldier of all time. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. He is El Givor. All right. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your great gift to us, the indescribable gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And while this is certainly the time when the world looks at the Christmas, we thank you, Father, that we can have Christmas every single day because we know you, we know your word, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us with these words. May we grow, learn it and apply them to our life, that we might have happiness and blessing in every aspect of our life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.